Reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 to 21. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1103. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Come, living flame of God, light that which is dark within us. Kindle your love in our hearts and lead us in the way we should go. Amen. I will pour out my spirit in those days, says the Lord. We are in those days. The days that Prophet Joel was speaking about was fulfilled in the day of Pentecost and the evidence of the pouring out of the Spirit upon those people then. But that pouring out has not dried up. It's like God's never-ending warm shower that you can stand under and just let it go all over you until you're completely clean, refreshed, feel a sense of aliveness. No wonder we rejoice in God. No wonder the songs of the church respond, O Church of Christ, rejoice. And this week we have been engaged as a church, as a whole church, in a week of prayer. And we've been gathered around a flame, gathered around the flame of God's Spirit, lit in our church, with people gathering to pray in the lunch times and in the evening at the end of the day. And we've been praying, come Spirit of God, fill us with your life. Fill individuals, and I know that many of you, I hope that all of you in some way have been able to pray using this long list, over 350 people who are part of Christ Church, who we've been able to pray for. Come Spirit of God, fill Annette with your life. Come Spirit of God, fill Adam with your life. And every person has been prayed for who are, as far as we know, part of Christ Church. We've left some off, unfortunately, and we're very, very sorry about that. If you feel part of Christ Church and you're not on the list, then please do forgive us first and then let us know second. God pours out his Spirit so that we may know his life. But what might that look like in reality, knowing God's life? It's been a very, very powerful experience this week of prayer for me personally. And as well as the untold blessing that I'm sure God's Spirit has been pouring out upon each of you and the many others who are not here today, it's been a blessing to me in that I have felt a deeper sense of knowing, a deeper sense of connection with you than I've ever done before. And that word knowing, as I've prayed with for you twice each day, with a sense of just longing, a sense of rejoicing in your joys and crying with your tears, it's brought me into a place of fellowship that I haven't known before. And so I thought it would be important this morning, as we think about the way the Holy Spirit works, that we concentrate on that one word, knowing. And we've got a slide that can put up, Jonathan, I hope, on the screen that Elisa has done for me in the office. You might have to imagine it in a minute. We'll see. It'll come in a minute. That's a lovely flame. Anyway, that'll do. That'll be fine. That says it all. I want to say four things. Firstly, that we're loved by God, knowing that we're loved by God, knowing that we're part of the Christ Church community, knowing a few people well, and knowing what we're about. There we are. Fantastic. Thank you. Knowing what we're about. I want to concentrate on that first one, knowing that we're loved by God. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, that we are loved by God unconditionally and forever. Now, and that message has been proclaimed from those earliest days. That's the message that the early Christians will have been empowered to speak to all those people around in Jerusalem on that first day of Pentecost, each to their own language and each in a way that they could understand, that they knew that they were loved by God. And it's a message that all of you have heard time and time again in some form or another. But I don't know if you would agree with me. It's not until something happens within, something that the Holy Spirit enables to happen, that we actually know that deep within. It's very hard to appreciate that truth. That's why the Holy Spirit comes, as Jesus, to lead us into all truth. But when you begin to know it, it is transforming. That was the thing that we heard on Easter Day from Sonia McGrath as she shared her story. And she spoke of not needing to search anymore. She said, "I knew I was loved." And she spoke of being overwhelmed by love as she opened her heart and said yes to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit comes, lights a flame within. It's like the flame of the Spirit on those apostles' head is the sign of God's love upon them. That living flame of love, as one person put it. And with it comes a longing to know more of Christ's love and more of his life in us. We can hear that longing in the words of St. Paul when he speaks to the church in Philippi. I want to know Christ. I mean, it's not that he didn't know Christ. He obviously knew Christ. But he wants to know him more and more. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Later we'll be singing that song, "Oh, to know the power of your risen life and to know you in your sufferings, to become like you in your death, my Lord, so to live with you and never die." Because knowing you, Jesus, there is no greater thing. There is no greater thing than to be known by him. May that be our prayer today and every day. So knowing that we're loved by God, something that the Holy Spirit comes to enable us to know. Secondly, God's Spirit enables us to know that we're part of a community. And here in Christ Church, we're part of the Christ Church community. In the book of Acts, we read further on in that second chapter that there was a fellowship of believers that met together and were devoted to prayer, devoted to the scriptures, devoted to the fellowship, devoted to giving to the needy, to release the resources that they had so that others could be blessed and so on. They experienced what St. Paul called the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the pouring out of the Spirit creates community. It builds church. I know a lot about building. I have used cement and sand to put together a bit of a patio. And I knew we needed cement and sand, so I mixed the cement and sand together and put it in with the bricks and the bits of slabs and things. And it was a bit of a mess, really. And it didn't look quite right until I remembered, all we need is the water. I should have put water with this. And so I mixed the water with it. It started to work. And when the water of God's Spirit, the water of life, is mixed with the sand and cement, the people that are around us and within our own lives, we begin to become used in God's building of his church and the building of his kingdom. I will build my church, says the Lord. Not you go and build the church. I will build my church, says the Lord. And adding the water of the Spirit makes that possible. So I wonder what it is that makes you feel part of the Christ Church community. I asked a few people that question recently. And Roger is one person, Chumley, who replied. And this is not everyone's experience, but it was his. Let me read just a little bit of what he said. "Dear Joe, you asked me for some feedback on my experiences of joining the fellowship at Christchurch Downend. My diary entry for my first visit to Christchurch on the 21st of July 2013 reads, quote, went to Christchurch, Church of England, Downend, on the 21st of July. Liked the church, in brackets, meaning the fellowship, not the building. Made very welcome. Indeed, he said, the welcome I received from several members of the fellowship left me feeling this is where I want to replant my worship roots, having moved from Bishopston to Downend. So often when you enter a church for the first time, it's the members of the congregation rather than the clergy that you're likely to encounter first and gain first impressions. Thankfully, when I finally encountered members of the clergy at Christchurch Downend, I was not disappointed. I just put that in for you and me, Paul. Just to encourage us, you know. But Roger has had good experiences from that point of view. And the thing that Roger's done is that he's got stuck in. He said to me after a few weeks, and he knew there was a need on the projection team, Joe, I could do that sort of thing, I think, with a bit of training, you know, would you like a bit of help with that? I said, no, thanks. We've got enough. So after hugging him so hard that he nearly died, I said, thank you very much. And off he goes, and he's been willing to be involved and get stuck into things. And that's a great way of learning to be part of a community. But that's not everybody's able to do that, and it's not everybody's experience. And last week, I met a young mum at the back of church there on her own, and I said, hi, I've seen her a few times before. I didn't know her name. Oh, dear, terrible. But I said, are you beginning to feel more at home here? She said, yes, I like it here, but I don't know many people. I said, why is that? Well, I'm often just standing here on my own, and nobody really comes over and talks to me. And I thought, you know, that's so sad. I'm sure there'd be lots of people who would talk to me, but they're, you know, some of the young parents, but they're all very busy, you know, with their own people. And that person over there, I'm sure she's really friendly, but I never get to speak to her. I thought there's something here that we need to wake up to. I don't often see people standing around by themselves, but I do sometimes. Or they're sitting down before the service begins and nobody's gone up to them and said, hi, I think, are you new here or whatever? And I think it's really important for us all to take note. And I want to share another story of somebody who I asked to share their experience of coming new to Christ Church. And she said this, I think it's very important that a newcomer to the church is welcomed as I was as soon as they enter the church, and that welcome continues over the weeks, as one can feel a bit isolated if there are not people around you who include you in their greeting to each other. If you look around, everyone seems to know each other well, and before the service begins, there's much talking and laughing among the people. A coffee and tea afterwards is a good way to meet people if one is outgoing. That, if one is outgoing and not shy meeting new people. And then she begins to get practical. Perhaps a new person could have a particular befriender who looks out for them each week and makes a point of meeting them, and getting to know them, as well as introducing them to others. Now that's very interesting, because what that person didn't know was something about the meeting that we're having this afternoon at lunchtime, 12 o'clock. Because part of our thinking to try and help that connecting people together, as well as the just the in welcoming and greeting at the door, is to help people move from attending to a sense of belonging, to move from A to B. And this is what the role of the welcome hosts will be, in a way that will help us to make progress. The role of the welcome hosts, people who will do three things. Notice, that is, look out for anyone coming for the first time and take the initiative to make the first move toward them, inviting them to sit in the area where they normally sit. Secondly, to introduce them by name to someone in that section, in that area, maybe make them aware of anything they might have in common, such as having young children, for example, or that they might get to, so that they might get to know a few other people. And then connect them with others over the weeks ahead, keeping an eye out for them after the service is finished, taking them, would you like to have a coffee or whatever, introducing them to another person, mentioning that you usually sit in this sort of area when you come, and you're welcome to come and sit with them, keeping an eye out for them in a specific way. and in that way can act as a sort of catalyst, because really this is the work of the whole church, the work of the whole church to enable everyone to have a sense of responsibility, to take responsibility for making contact with people and to take the initiative. Come for a coffee. I'm going to the shops next Saturday. Would you like to come with me? We're going to the park or a football match, whatever it might be. I want to say that Sundays is not the time for church business to be done. It's too precious a time. Church business can be done by email or telephone calls, especially to the staff at other times. Our role as a church community is to be looking out for those who are not yet part of that community, but who would be if they were shown real friendship. And one way we can do that is by serving coffee, making tea available. And the good news is that we're going to be having real coffee soon. Not that stuff that some people think, I'm not drinking that rubbish. But we will be having real coffee. But we haven't got very many people to serve it. And so we need people who are part of Christ Church to say, yeah, I'd love to exercise the ministry of hospitality. At the moment, we just have home groups. And because we have different sorts of home groups, or small groups, triads and discipleship, triplets and prayer things and all sorts of other stuff, we haven't got as many home groups to take on the coffee. So we need other people. And we'll be talking in over the next few weeks, inviting you to participate, get involved in that way. So, following on from that, the third thing that's so crucial about knowing is that we begin to know people well enough to call them our friends. And I just want to say about Hannah, if I may. I haven't asked her permission. But Hannah, you created a friend. Is Anka here this morning? Don't think she is she? You created a friend in Anka, who's a person from Romania. And she came over, and she had a lot of help from different people at Christ Church when she first came with her children. And she told me a story the other day, that she went to creche with her little ones, and Hannah went in there as well. And she said to Anka, Anka, I'd really like to meet up for a coffee sometime. And Anka was utterly gobsmacked. I didn't know what to say, she said. I was so overwhelmed with this woman who came and saw me. I didn't know. She was so friendly. So that's my best Romanian accent in English. But thank you very much. But Hannah's friendship, just wanting to meet her as a person, you know, instead of just do things for her, was a thing that made all the difference in the world. I just thought, you know, how easy is it to build a friendship? That's what it's about. We need to know a few people well. And the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit is that he makes strangers friends. That first Christian community. How can that Matthias guy be friends with Luke? You mean, he's a doctor, as Matthias. He's a real ruffian. I think of Martin Brown, his friendship with David Stevens, who died two or three years ago now. David, who was a drug addict, who was so off the wall. Amazing guy who'd come to Christ, a new life. But David and Martin, like, Martin's, you know, there he was, you know, he's a partner in a huge accountancy firm, top of his career in Bristol. And David used to text him at 3 o'clock in the morning, ask for his help. And Martin, you know, he's my best mate. That's my best Cockney accent. Now that's what he would call him, his best mate. I mean, Martin and David. Only God. Only God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. So we get to know a few people. And then finally, this very briefly, Paul, sorry about this. We know what we're about. We know what we're about. Our vision. Learning to live the life, as we all said last week, is about having a common purpose. And we know that that purpose is to know Christ and to find our life in him and to learn to live that life wherever we are. What a fantastic thing it is to be part of a church that is moving in God's Spirit, is following God's purpose, is clear about that, and is together as one, praying for one another and seeing God's blessing come. We are being inspired by God in new ways in these days, and this week of prayer has been hugely significant. I'd encourage you to go on praying for one another. And I want to share one last thing with you, how to do that. Here's the mug. It says, I'd rather be playing golf, but I use it when I have a cup of tea in the morning and I'm praying. If anybody's like me, the first thing they have in the morning is a cup of tea. Can't do without a cup of tea first thing in the morning. I take it, I drink it, and I enjoy it, and I try and find somewhere quiet. And then when it's empty, I'm thinking, Lord, please fill my life, my empty life, with your Spirit. Fill me with your resurrection power for today. Help me to share in your sufferings. Help me to share in others' sufferings and joys. Fill my life with your life, I pray. And then I pray for another person. Come, Spirit of God, fill Hillary with your life. And we can do that, can't we? Can we keep these lists? Can we keep this booklet and just go through it again? Just pray for one another that we might know the things that God wants us to know. That we might know the fact that he has called us to be a people together. That we might know that he loves us beyond all description. That we might know a few people well, and that we might know what we're about as his people. Let's pray now that that may be true. Holy Spirit of God, you come to bring us into relationship with the Father through Jesus, and we thank you. You are the one who unites us together as one fellowship in your love, and we thank you. You are the one that enables us to build friendships with people we wouldn't naturally do, and we thank you. You are the one that gives us vision and purpose for our own lives and together as one church. Continue your work among us, we pray, and lead us in your strength to live for your praise and glory. Amen.